Hello, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Tabletop Theater. Having just braved an encounter with the Heenan and managing to keep possession of the holy artifact, the Nightingale Watch finds itself again in the room between life and death. However, their return to the physical world is a return to a world changed, with a captured member of the Heenan. The party sets out, lost and confused, through a bitter winter wasteland. Now, let's get back to the action.
Each of you appears in the black room, which you previously occupied only a few short minutes before. Except this time, it is occupied by a figure who stands opposite you. At first, the figure appears indistinct. You're unclear exactly who it is, and the person itself seems to shift and shift and shift, being person to person you have seen through countless times in your life, until it settles on a form that is comfortable to each of you. You realize each of you is alone with this figure. The figure finally settles on three forms, each different for all of you. Lola, for you, this figure takes the form of your long-past mother. For you, Drifter, this figure takes the form of your wife, Kisu. And for you, Chosh, the figure takes the form of Sir Frederick. The voice speaks to you, Lola, greeting you, saying,
"Hello. It's nice to finally meet you, Dolores Lockhart."
The figure says to you, Drifter,
"It's been a long time, Angelo."
And to you, Chosh, it says,
"Back again, so soon, Chosh. Normally, circumstances would be that you had died if you were here, but that doesn't seem to be the case. It seems you all have simply stopped existing in time."
You get the sense like he's talking to each of you at the same time, despite the fact you cannot see each other.
"Perhaps, what do you call that stupid mortal concept? Fate, yes. Perhaps fate is on your side. Regardless, nothing is keeping you here. You're free to return. But of course, if you'd rather stay, that's always an option."
Drifter says, "I'll be back sooner rather than later, but I'll take my chances." And he'll turn and walk out the door.
I don't quite know what to make of this. I suppose I'm grateful for the opportunity to go on. But please, tell me what happened to the little girl that was with us. Please.
"You'll see soon enough."
Chosh will stand up wordlessly, push the chair back into the desk, and walk out.
"Oh, and Chosh and Angelo, the next time you see me, it will be your last."
You return to a scene of destruction and chaos, where there was once a large laboratory, now is just a crater. Bricks are strewn all about the area. Bits of marble, broken pipes, and some of the corpses from before, all in a thick snow. But oddly enough, everything else seems to be calm. You hear no soldiers. You hear no one say anything. And there you emerge. You see, as you gather your wits about you, dusting yourself off as you had fallen on the ground, you see the girl you rescued. You see the monkey man, Argus, who you've now tied up. And you see Edgar.
Drifter's gonna look at everyone and say, "Everyone okay?"
I suppose I'm just a bit confused, but given the circumstances, I think I'm quite all right. Chosh, dear?
Chosh is sort of scanning his surroundings, taking it in. You said that the place where we're standing, it's now, like, totally outside.
Crater.
It's a crater? Yeah. I don't know what Josh would do. What would Josh do?
Drifter's just going to take that as a Josh is fine. And he's going to kind of kick the monkey man, Argus, if that's his name, and say, how you doing?
Before you do that, you see a bunch of blood gush from the open wound in your chest where you were stabbed before.
Oh, right. Oh, turns out I'm not all right, guys.
Oh, goodness. You'd think we'd be healed.
No.
If we died?
No.
Yeah.
Each of you appears to be still badly beaten, and
gosh.
You especially, Drifter, are in incredibly rough shape.
That's true. My health is very low.
Josh actually knows this wonderful spell. It's called Lay on Hands. So I have 35 HP to give?
Yeah.
I think I'm at 14, but I don't know what happened with the last episode.
You both have 7.
Both have 7.
Oh, I'm at 7? Oh,
You took all of my hits. You weren't doing very well.
I felt very confident.
Yeah, and then sure. You got beaten a bunch.
Oh, you did. I don't know how much.
Yeah, our HP was 1, much like 2 become 1.
So, yeah, you both have 7 HP. So yeah. Who do you want to heal?
I will heal. How are you doing, Lola?
I'm okay.
You're
okay.
So, Josh will, upon seeing blood gush from his friend's chest...
Drifter will also notice at the same time as Josh and Lola and say, oh, would you look at that?
Oh, goodness.
And Josh will like instinctively put his hand out, not as the spell name would imply, lay on hands, actually on Drifter, but just sort of like, you know, like I'm not touching you distance.
Great.
You can't get mad. I'm not touching you.
Yeah. I know. I'm getting it. I'm backing up what you're saying.
You see your hand illuminate with light, but you notice as you do so that the light appears much more feeble than usual, and as you attempt to gather power from your divine patron, you feel that this connection is incredibly distant, and you are only able to heal Drifter 5 HP.
That'll do.
The bleeding does stop.
Okay.
Cool. I won't die.
Josh is going to wear a very panicked expression under his helmet and start breathing very quickly. Hyperventilating, if you will.
Josh, what's wrong?
I'm not sure. This hasn't happened before.
I'm going to bend down to Rosalind and say... Are you quite all right, dearie? I don't quite know what just happened, but, oh, dear, you're shivering. And I place my arms around the girl and try to calm her and call over. Edgar, do you think somewhere deep inside of you, you have a coat or a shawl for little Rosalind here?
Why don't you just roll a 1d20 and we'll see what he has.
Okay. 17.
Any modifiers? So Edgar spits up a beautiful fur coat that you think that he probably might have stolen from Queen Judith when you were at her castle.
Oh, that's okay.
The coat is way too big for the girl, but it does keep her warm.
There you go. Oh, and it suits your hair just so.
What would you like to do, the rest of you?
Drifter is going to say, well, I think we need some answers, starting with you. And kick the monkey man again, if I haven't kicked him already.
Okay. He grunts in pain.
What do you want?
What do we want? What do we want? Are you serious? Are you serious, man? Do you have any input, Josh, on this, what this guy, what we're doing?
Josh is a million miles away. and sort of like madly like playing with like his hands and trying to like create like a glow and like swinging his dagger around, trying to like infuse it with like divine energy.
Yeah, you could be doing that. You've been trying to test out all of your paladin abilities right now, and eventually going through all of them, you know, you eventually get around to divine sense. And the only when you finally use divine sense, you get two senses. One, you get a strong demonic presence from two places. One, obviously, the little girl. The second, obviously, the gorilla man. But you also get a very strong divine presence
from the artifact that's lodged in your chest.
Oh.
Drifter will not satisfy with the Monkey Man's first responses.
You didn't ask him a question, you just kicked him.
I kicked him when I said talk. And so Drifter is going to pull out his revolver and say, we don't know where we are or where we're going, but we don't need to carry you around. So if you want to live, you're going to talk now and do an intimidation check.
Sure.
I'm pretty intimidated.
I'm also intimidated.
It's
you know what? Never mind.
It's a 16.
That's pretty intimidating, actually.
He definitely takes your threat seriously. He says, you think that I fear death? I've welcomed it ever since. I've been cursed by the faith. I won't tell you anything.
Drifter will point the revolver at his head and say, one last time, who do you work for? What do you want?
I work for the puppet master. And what do we want? I think it's pretty obvious. We want the end of your pathetic little faith. It does nothing for us. None of you would understand.
Try us.
You think a noble woman, a paladin, or a tiefling could understand what I've been through? Don't make me laugh. Finish me now. Complete the job the faith started years ago. He looks at you, the paladin.
I cannot believe he brought Raze into this.
I know. And you know what? I'm more than just a noblewoman. I've long forsaken nobility.
I am not more than a paladin.
I'm just going to shoot him. Can I shoot him?
One moment, Drifter. I do feel that we've been through a lot, and he could possibly proffer up some desperately needed answers to many of our questions.
Josh is going to look at Drifter and sort of register what he's saying and look at the gorilla monkey primate man. Look at Drifter and sort of like register what's happening. Timidly but weakly sort of approach and look at the prisoner and sort of like grab at the amulet. Or is it an amulet? Is that the proper word?
No, it's more just like a gem.
It's more of just a gem, yeah. So he's going to grab at the gem, not actually taking it out of the armor, but like just sort of like putting it on display and realize how little he actually knows about this item and say, What do you know about these?
I know you're following a fool's errand. My master has seen the truth of it with his own eyes.
But what use could they possibly have to someone who's not an angel?
You are so lost, boy. You don't even have a chance of understanding. You're still talking about angels.
I don't even have a chance of understanding.
And Siegfried. What's Siegfried have to do with all this?
Siegfried has joined the side of truth, like my master before him. He has seen the path of the champion of faith, ends in naught but ruin.
Seems like it's the path of the fallen. It's not truth you're seeking. It's deception.
I've seen firsthand what your angels can do.
He kind of implies something to do with the multitude of eyes that are all over him.
You're just deluded. You're sickened with doubt. I don't know what you have to do. Why are you tearing this world apart with your fear and your rage?
We have to rebuild on this terrible monument that they have created. Enough of this. Put me out of my misery.
Do you think we should imprison him?
He might be of some use to us yet.
Josh?
Josh is going to look at the prisoner and look at the girl and ask him, are you two the same?
He smiles.
Perhaps we should try to find shelters.
Yeah, let's start.
Sure, it'll get dark soon.
Yeah, let's head back and see if we can deliver on some of these jobs.
But where shall we go?
Yeah, Chosh will walk to the top of the crater and try and get a lay of the land.
Chosh, you look outside where the laboratory once stood, but now all that remains is this crater, and you look out into the city that you once saw before when you entered Kroskengrad, but you notice that all of the buildings here seem to be run down. Doesn't appear to be a light on at all. It's like the entire city's been abandoned. And it looks like it has been like this for some time.
Chosh will look down at Lola and Drifter and say, I don't think anyone's near here. There's buildings, but I don't think anyone's home.
I mean, what time of day is it right now?
It's nearing nighttime.
Hmm.
Were we able to tell what, you know, I'm sure Chosh as a paladin can figure out which way is north, right?
Yeah, I tilt my dagger on my finger, and then whichever way it falls is north.
We're going to actually use that, and I don't know, I want you to roll to see how good you are at figuring out where north is.
Sure, okay. Roll a survival.
We also have a decent, I mean,
I want Chosh to do it.
It feels as though we just got here, right, for the mission. It's only, like, it only feels like it's been a few days. So we vaguely know where we came from.
Yeah, we know which direction we want to go, which is back to where we came from.
Roll a survival check, Chosh.
I roll. It's called nature. Excuse you. I have an 8.
Chosh, you get a kind of off which direction is north. You're not really sure which way it is.
Chosh points confidently towards a direction that he feels is north.
Right.
And says, that is north.
He
has faith. Let us go the opposite way.
The party begins the trek through the evening night.
Wait, I'm sorry. What's happening with this gorilla?
We're keeping him.
Can
we keep him?
Drifter is going to keep him in front of me and kind of watch him.
Okay.
My master will know soon enough where I am.
Seems like your master abandoned you.
Drifter is going to say, kick. Well, after he kicks him the third time and the last time. He's going to say, get up if you want to see her again.
He just grunts.
Yeah.
But he gets up, doesn't he?
He moves.
Yeah.
So you just march what you believe to be south?
Great. I know it to be south.
Okay, sure.
And we have full confidence in Josh.
Of course. You all march through the night to go south?
Sure.
Yes.
All right. When
we
do you get
on a path.
Well, that's just the thing. As you go south, you realize that the path you once took seems to have all but disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that it's almost like it's disappeared in the snow, or perhaps it hasn't been maintained particularly well, which seems a bit odd, considering you just arrived. In fact, much of the landscape appears changed and warped. Areas where you once thought you walked before appear to be pockmarked, and that there's craters everywhere. The only really consistent thing that you seem to find as you travel these barren landscapes in the snow are the remains of bodies in tattered uniforms.
Can we identify?
Do you recognize any?
Which uniform?
Sorry, sure. Yes. You recognize all of them. You recognize them as being from all four countries. Chimera, Dondalore, and Borgovia.
There must have been a skirmish.
You hear as you wander through the woods, now at night, you hear the calling of wolves in the distance.
Hmm. No need to fear. We'll find shelter soon.
All right, then roll a nature check.
All of us?
It doesn't matter. Up to you who rolls.
You can find
you're the most intelligent of us. I have a 14.
You can find shelter pretty easily, actually, if you balance a dagger on the tip of your finger, but you put the blade towards the finger, and then you let a little bit of blood out, and then wherever the blood drips is where shelter is.
Oh, please stop this.
I hope you roll a 0.
I get a 16.
Damn it!
With my blood method.
Losing
blood.
As you wander the woods for what seems like hours, your stomachs grumble. You get hungry, and you realize you don't have any provisions for the way back.
Edgar?
You scour.
Nothing. Don't eat Edgar.
I'm not going to eat
Edgar,
him. I'm asking him.
All Edgar is able to muster up is a very...
Is one fiber, one bar.
Is one very stale coffee cake.
Oh.
You search some of the soldiers' bodies, hoping to find anything. Mm. But it seems that these bodies have been long dead. Their skeletons are husks. The clothing is tatters.
Humans?
And searching them, you're able to find, Chosh, a replacement, albeit battered, saber to replace your sword. You also find gas masks, much like the ones you use to get into the toxic jungle. But you don't find any usable food. Do you take anything from these bodies?
Gas masks might be useful in the future. As reverently as I can, I try to strip the skeletons of their gas masks.
Roll a medicine check.
It's like 14.
Okay. Well then, you notice something odd about the skeletons. Something that appears to be like massive amounts of like erosion, more than you would usually expect from just being left bare in the elements, almost as if something was like scraping against every inch of the bones. And this seems to be the case for every single one of them.
It's rather disconcerting.
Eventually, your method, Chosh, of attempting to find shelter does pan out for you. You come across a lone cottage. It has lights on in the inside. Do you want to approach this cottage, or do you want to keep continuing on?
I mean, there's nothing else.
You go over to the cottage. What do you do?
Drifter's going to hold the monkey man, so he's going to motion to Lola and say, mm-hmm. You want to knock?
Oh, by all means. And before knocking, I rummage through Edgar and find my perfume of prolific conversation and spritz a little bit on my wrist and then tiny bit, dab a little bit on behind my ears and gracefully knock 3 times on the door.
You hear movement on the other side of the door. You hear as if someone's picking something up heavy.
Oh dear.
And then almost like they're unbolting the door. They open it just ajar. You see an old man's face, and he says to you,
"What do you want?"
He says in Elvish.
Oh! Who's this Elvish?
I am a half elf. good evening, sir. I'm so sorry to disturb you on this cold and bitter night, but my compatriots and I can't find shelter anywhere. We don't know where we are, and frankly, good sir, we need your help.
The man keeps the door open only enough for his eye really to see out of it. You look down through the crack in the door, and you can see what appears to be the barrel of a gun. And he says, roll a persuasion check for me.
Be kind to us. That's 19 plus a bunch. plus 5, so 24.
He says,
I suppose in these times that... All right, make it quick.
He opens the door more for you to get in.
Thank you, sir. I promise you we will only stay the evening. Come on, lads.
he turns around and he says,
in these times, I suppose you gotta show kindness to anyone who's left, honestly.
He goes and he goes about his small room and sits back on a bed. There seems to be 3 chairs about a table and a small roaring fire. He looks up as you all enter and sit about the room, and he looks at you, Chosh, and he says, as he takes in your outfit, and he says, in Elvish, something you can't understand, but you get the gist of it simply by his pointing, he says,
what the hell are you doing in here? Get him out of here!
Oh, sir, please. He means nothing of it. It's...
The faith has done enough! You took my damned son! Get out!
The armor... can I persuade him to not kick out?
Drifter?
Josh, yeah, please.
Drifter will... we're not part of any group. We're just some travelers trying to find a way here.
Roll a deception check.
That's a 1.
It's a nat 1.
I know that armor anywhere! He's a hand of the faith! Get him out of here! Now! You've done enough, haven't you? Taken enough from me!
Josh, the man is enraged over your armor. Could you possibly change? Could he possibly...
How dare you,
Lola? Could he possibly...
You want to sleep outside? What do you want?
Josh, here, I explained the quandary we find ourselves in. Mm-hmm. So, Josh, you either have to say for your own survival that you found this armor.
You can simply explain to the man that whatever the angels did with his son was just.
Oh, I shan't be doing that, Josh.
No? The man doesn't understand comedy, only speaks Elvish.
Great.
Okay.
Seems a little convenient.
Well, I'm going to say to the man, sir, this is no man of the faith. In fact, he's quite wicked. He murdered the hand of the faith in his own, in cold blood, and now he wears his armor. And this isn't entirely a lie.
It's totally true.
Yeah, you can roll a deception check.
Josh will, while Lola says this, give the guy like a thumbs up and say, may your son rest in peace.
Oh, you.
In fact, he spits on the faith. That's 11.
He says, take off the armor. Prove it.
I don't speak Elvish.
Josh, like, darling, Josh, do you remember when we were on the SS Malamar and you wore nothing but rags?
Yes.
I can fetch you some rags or something better than rags. But please, Josh, if you were to stay tonight, and I demand that you do, I cannot bear you to die in the cold. Please, remove the armor, just for this evening.
Can Drifter just take the helmet off?
No!
And just take it off his head.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. If you want to stop me, we're gonna just roll.
Oh, I'm gonna try to stop you.
All right, roll a grapple check, both of you.
Yeah.
It's a strength-based.
Okay, well, I roll a 13.
I rolled a 16.
You headbutt him.
You go straight for his helmet to just rip it off, but Josh just puts his hand on it, and you just grapple, but he's able to hold it down.
Drifter, you need to understand. I don't do this for myself, but for diligence. What if he were to think that I'd abandoned the faith? I mean, who knows where we are?
The old man starts.
You did not.
It seems like the faith already abandoned you.
The old man starts gesturing.
Drifter.
The old man starts gesturing with his shotgun now towards you. Josh says, "Out, sleep outside."
Josh will look at Drifter, and look at the man holding the gun. And say, I can tell where I'm not wanted. And he's going to walk right out that door.
Argus, your captive, says,
so you let your friend die then out there? Now this is truly funny. I thought you faith folks were all about sticking together. Guess I get to watch you fall apart. Not very surprising, seeing how Siegfried defected to us.
I kick him.
I was gonna whack him.
And I scowl and say, shut up, you.
You're all so mean to Argus. What's he ever done
to you? A lot.
Are you serious?
So either we all follow him outside and try to find more shelter, or Josh dies. So
or
I think
of course, the third option.
We kill the man.
He's not in the room, but like I'm telling you, he's not going to be like, oh, we killed the guy who didn't like you. Oh, great. I'll sleep in his bed. He doesn't need it anymore.
So Drifter is free to walk to the door and say to Josh, get back here. If you go out there, you're going to die. Again. Today.
Josh is going to turn around, stop walking, and look at Drifter and say, Drifter, this isn't right. None of this is right. Why should someone be so upset that I'm a proud member of the faith? Why should the angels' power not work?
The world has changed a bit since whatever happened.
If Josh had pockets, he'd put his hands in them, but he doesn't. So it's more of a symbolic movement,
like a football coach trying to just attempting.
yeah. Like he's like trying to like get himself warm.
Metal rubbing
yeah, but it's
on
like
metal.
It's just like very. It's not happening. Josh will walk back into the house and keep his back to Drifter, Lola, Argus, and the girl, and take off the helmet like a little bit, like it's not off all the way. It's just like his face, and just kind of like look at him because he doesn't speak Elven.
Sir, by lifting up his helm, my friend here is trying to convey to you his humanity. He's not just a diligent... He's not what he appears. He's not simply a diligent follower of the faith. He is a man. And he will die. We will all die if you send us out there. What would your son think? Could your son forgive you to be responsible for the death of yet another boy in this group? That's 16.
He says,
Human! Like they ever let a human into the faith. All right. I guess you were telling the truth. And you're right about my son. All right, fine. But just the one. Just the one night. Get in.
Chosh will, I'm imagining, like, the girl is in, like, this broken down chair. Is there a fireplace? I have to assume. Yeah. Unless he's got floor heating.
I said that already.
Yeah, you did? Okay, all right. So the girl is like putting her hands over the fireplace, and Chosh will sort of like awkwardly kneel down like a, you know, like uncle who doesn't know the nephew or niece too well. And he's like, hey there, sport. Say, so how long were you in that lab?
She looks at you. Just kind of shrugs with an over-exaggerated shoulder kind of shrug.
Yeah.
She's kind of just picking at her fingers absentmindedly.
How old is this girl? I know you said last time, but I can't.
She's about nine.
She's about nine. Okay. Chosh will sit down next to the fire, sort of like giving some distance, both for her comfort and his, as he doesn't quite understand what she is, and it makes him uncomfortable. Say, I spent most of my childhood in a monastery, and I couldn't leave a lot.
Aww.
She just looks at you.
Chosh will just sort of like sit there silently for a little while and let time pass, and say, I'm not sure how, but I get the feeling that you're very important to a lot of things that are very important to me. So if you ever want to talk about it. And then he kind of like gets up quickly and walks away.
Aww. Lola and Drifter are sitting a little bit away from the fire, speaking in hushed tones while the old man snores in his cot. Drifter, what are we going to do? I only got us a night here. Shall we try to go get in touch with the queen? Perhaps Queen Judith is still at the manor. We can maybe find shelter there. Or should we go to the capital?
I think we should find Robin, who's back at the manor, right?
She is. That's right.
Let's start there. And then get back to the capital. Chasha's friends in high places.
Do you think we could find some kind of...
Something's happened.
Carriage?
Something big. I don't know what yet. But everything seems different.
The old man did refer to a war. Perhaps in the time that we've been gone, war really has broken out.
Crazy things happen in a, you know, matter of weeks.
That's true. We'll have to be careful. You know, I do think I have something that might help us. I just remembered. Edgar.
Your bag walks over to you, sleepily.
Aww.
It's like a cat yawn where it goes, opens its mouth really wide. And the tongue sticks out.
Oh, who's a sleepy little satchel? Edgar, do you remember? I I do recall I had some kind of wireless transmitter with which to get in touch with the crew of the SS Malamar. Do you have it?
The Dandy Boys? That's who we're calling?
Drifter, I don't know what else to say. They gave me this means of contact. We have to try it.
Edgar, pauses for a moment. It rumbles a little bit because there's so many things inside of him. And eventually he spits up the transmitter that you were looking for.
Oh, what a good boy. Again, you come to my aid.
Edgar goes back to his place, which was kind of nestled up against the little girl.
Oh. Right. Well, Drifter, do you have any idea how to work this? It's newfangled machinery. It's, not quite my forte.
I'll take a crack at it. Okay, roll to try and...
You don't have to roll. Drifter, you flip the switch on it, and you hear the soft sound of static.
Captain, get me there.
You don't hear a response.
Maybe if you poke this, and I start jabbing at...
We'll leave a message. Can we do that with a radio?
No, but you can speak out.
What happens when I jab it?
Nothing happens.
Okay. Captain, this is a distress call.
You don't hear any response.
We'll try again in the morning.
All right. The next day.
It's the middle of the night.
Yeah. Also, you might not be within range of the person.
Also true.
They probably do get at least 9 hours a night.
The next morning, you wake up early and leave before the old man arises. Careful not to upset him anymore.
That's smart.
You wander many days, hopefully following the path that you once took, but it seems that whatever direction you did pick, it was definitely not directly south.
No.
Drifter, you are a godsend in these days. Your skills with animals are able to hunt small game like rabbits, foraging for food like small edible berries. At times you see some of the majesticness of the wild, large reindeer covered in white snow, gentle giants that you are able to watch from afar. Eventually, you slowly but surely make your way south enough that the snow finally is no longer an issue for you. With that one day to heal, you are able to survive these next couple days in the woods. One of these days, you're wandering through the mists in a large open field. Again, here, the ground is covered in holes and debris and dead bodies. As you walk, Chosh, you hear the breaking of glass, and you look down, and you see the tattered remains of a cleric. All about them are strewn jars, and they have this large, sort of staff-like object, something that looks like it would be used for dispersing incense in a way. And all about this cleric, you see dead bodies of slain paladins, long since rotted away. You see the rusted armor, and all about them are more of these dead soldiers, but this time, not bone. Their skin looks desiccated, as if more than just water was removed from it, as if a supernatural sort of absorption had occurred from their own life. This is what you see in this middle of this wasteland. You all start to cough ever so slightly. It appears to be snowing.
It appears to be.
But as you look closer, it's almost as if you see the spores of the toxic jungle again.
Lola, do you still have those gas masks?
Of course, yes. I fetch Edgar and quickly distribute the gas masks amongst us. But making sure to give Argus the last one.
Drifter will, yeah, that works.
Sure.
I don't remember how I described putting my gas mask on last time, but however it was, I don't think it was as good as having the mask part poking out of the helmet visor and having the rest of the mask be on under the helmet. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'd like to do. So I'm a knight with the mouthpiece of a gas mask poking out of the visor.
Mm.
Drifter will even take a gas mask and put it on top of Argus.
Mm-hmm.
You do so. All of you, including the little girl, are all wearing gas masks now.
But we make sure to put on our masks before we put on the little girl's mask.
Because that's safe.
Of course.
That's safety. It hurts me so, but,
yeah. But safety.
The way it must be.
Do you guys do anything in the moment?
I put my tray table up. Chosh is going to a prayer for all of these fallen individuals. Does it seem like they're all from one angel, or is there some diversity here?
Why don't you roll a religion check?
I would love to roll a religion check. It's actually something I'm quite good at. Oh no, that is a
get them out now, boys.
That's a 9 total.
Chosh, they're pretty rusted, but you kind of fumble through your prayer as you say this. There's no particular, like, identifiable, like, single angel that these all are from.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Oh, yeah, Chosh is going to pick up the incense.
It's not incense. It's like a staff that would looks like it would be something that would be used to disperse incense.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Chosh is going to pick up the... when you say a staff, you mean, like, a big...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you said so the glass jar is attached to this staff, or...
Yes, it was.
Okay. Well, then Chosh will pick that up.
It's broken.
Okay. Have I ever seen anything like this before? Can I roll a religion check to, like, maybe...
Yeah, you can roll it with advantage.
Yeah.
Good question, actually.
Maybe this is, like, an Eastern...
Nope, roll it.
Okay, so that's a 17 total.
That's fine. Chosh, you recognize it very much because you once held a jar that was much like this before. This jar was the same sort of jar that you used, or that you were given, to collect the faith once you killed Charity.
Oh my god.
You've broken this one, but...
Yeah, what a shame. When you say the jar is very much like the one I used to collect the faith, was there something special about that jar that it could hold faith, or do you mean simply, like, the model of it is the same jar?
And the contents are the same.
Yes to both.
Yes to both. Okay, all right.
There's no contents in this. It's something specially designed
mm-hmm.
to hold it, and it is also kind of intricate and designed in such a way that it is remarkably similar to the one you had before.
Are there any other glass jars around? Can I look for them?
Sure.
Yeah, I want to look for one or more.
Investigation.
That is investigation, so it's just 13 then.
Yeah, you're able to find one jar.
Okay, yeah. Chosh will... is there anything in that jar?
No.
Chosh will keep that jar.
Okay.
In the meantime, have we been continuously testing the wireless connection?
Sure, do you want to test
connection?
It right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, sure.
Sure, yeah, let's do that.
All right, test it.
Calling all dandy boys. All dandy boys come in. Calling all dandy boys.
All of you have been taking turns switching off on the radio, and you've never heard a response. However, today you do hear a response as you shout out for the dandy boys. But you don't understand what's being said because the person is speaking in Elvish. You hear somebody else, voices again you don't recognize, speaking in Orcish. You hear voices from many different people. And suddenly all about you, there's noise. And you hear a deafening boom as an explosive shell hits the ground. It's about 100 meters away from you. The ground shakes. You hear the distant rumblings of many feet charging from either side.
I'm going to use a grit to be first.
You see from all sides forces of men charging you, all wearing different colors of different countries. What's odd about it is you seem to be in the middle of all of this. And while these forces seem to be charging as if there were two separate sides, they seem to have little regard for who they're hitting at all. They all eventually come crashing together. All about you, there is pandemonium and combat. Urian troops stab their brothers and comrades of the Chimerian forces. Borgovians attack their brothers in the Dondalorian army. They all fight each other. There's gunfire. Others stab each other with bayonets. And still more goes straight for all of you who seem to be in the center of all of this. Drifter, what do? You see forces of 30 men on either side going right for you. There's gunfire everywhere. Some are charging you with sabers. What do?
We're going to try and find a way out of this, right? Not stand here. Sounds like a good...
I think we can win this one.
Drifter, you hear Argus say to you, "Free me or we'll all die."
Yeah, free, that's going to happen.
And you see, here's the thing. What happens is you free him because he's your long-lost sister, and this is a chance to, like, become friends again.
This is not Guardians of the Galaxy.
The problem is that he's going to betray... Rocket Raccoon.
You can immediately... Yeah, that's true. He will betray Rocket Raccoon, in this case, played by the part of Edgar.
I'm going to lead you guys like, using my one hand with my knife, trying to, like...
You're charging.
Charging basically. Out to like, the quickest way out of this fight.
Sure. Mm. Why don't you just roll 1d20?
Yeah, I'll do that. And I'm holding the monkey man with my one hand.
Yeah.
That's an 18. Plus like, proficiency. Plus
it would be an athletics check, but that's more than enough. Drifter, you grab the monkey man by the ropes that bind him, and you drag him along. Many of these people...
Hopefully he runs.
Yeah, he runs with you as best as he can. Many of these people, they don't even seem to notice you. They look out of sorts. Almost skeletons themselves. You slice at them, and you easily bring them down. You cut through them like butter. But you're still unable to avoid every attack, and you do take... You take 10 damage. Stray bullets. Slices from sabers. Shrapnel from explosions. All of these tear into you as you run through these crowds. I assume the rest of the Nightingale Watch, closely followed behind, will go to Lola. What do you do?
Before I start to run behind Drifter and Argus, I quickly grab Rosalind, pick her up on my shoulders, or no, I scoop her up in my arms, and start, I just take off. And as I'm running, I cast behind me the spell Confusion in a 10-foot radius sphere containing the soldiers fighting behind us.
You do it. These soldiers all appear confused, as much as they can be at this rate. They all start fighting each other even more, paying no attention to you. You only take 4 damage, as most of them seem to be preoccupied with killing each other. Chosh, what do you do? You see these hulking figures themselves, some of them wearing gas masks. One of these men have a large tank on their back, much like the one you saw in the toxic jungle. He's carrying a pole, and from it spews flames that incinerate many of these soldiers. This flame goes towards you, Chosh. Roll a dexterity check to avoid it.
Okay. That is a 7.
You're not quite able to dodge it in time. Your armor makes you move slow as you stick and sink into the mud, and you get burned 10 damage for this. But you're able to continue running after your friends. What would you like to do?
Chosh is going to try and cover the rear, so to speak, with his big shield. And he'll sort of like trying to shield up back to his friends' back, covering their back, walking back, keeping the enemies back.
Chosh, because of your noble sacrifice, none of your allies take any more damage. You protect the little girl, you protect Argus, and you most of all protect the remnants of the Nightingale Watch. But you still take damage from stray bullets. Many glance off of your shield with beautiful displays of sparks and chime-like sounds as it hits your shield and dings off. Many of the bullets crumple, flattened against the powerful magical might of your shield, but others go and sink through your armor, but it only deals you 2 damage.
Wow.
Just barely grazing you.
Did you know that these guys suck at doing damage?
I don't think they're intending to hurt us.
The fight continues and continues and seems to get worse as you find areas of cover. Eventually, you hear something before you see it. You hear what sounds to be somebody screaming, but not in pain, more like a war cry. But the odd thing about this is it's not coming from any cardinal direction. It's coming from above you. And you look up, and you see descending from the sky 5 people clad in brown uniforms, wearing masks that look like birds. They seem to be falling a great distance, apparently from an enormous zeppelin. Right before they're about to hit the ground, a burst of feathers appears, and they land as softly as if they had jumped on a bed. And you hear one of them screech out, "Yee-hoo!" And they seem to be defending you. One of them appears to be missing an arm. Instead, a corkscrew, which they impale on one of these soldiers and throw them off to the side. Another appears to have a shotgun. He seems to be taking out many of these husk-like soldiers. And they continue as such until none remain. As you approach them, one of them takes off their mask, and you see a familiar face.
Well, hello there, boys. It's been a while. Yeah. Captain Paloma, don't you remember me? You fought my crew on the Dark and Stormy.
Oh, well, you seem to be in tip-top shape.
Yeah, well, we got your distress call. Figured we had to make our way safe off the rest of the Nightingale Watch. You know how it is. Hold on one second. She shoots one of their few remaining soldiers. And she picks up her own sort of receiver and says, yeah, boss, we're gonna need a couple of lines here to pick us up. Yeah, sure thing. Yeah, we got them, don't worry. They're safe and sound. She closes her receiver. Well, aren't you all sad for sore eyes? We've been looking for you for 3 years. Where the hell have you been?
Join us again for the next exciting episode of Tabletop Theater in episode 23, The Noble House of Lockhart.